My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Scott Bartnick.
You don't need a website to sell. You don't need a logo to sell. I can go, if I'm already an expert, if I have a career, I can go talk one-on-one to someone and make a sale, consult for them or whatever that is. But you can't really scale that. That scale is as far as, you know, you can get word of mouth. You can talk to five or six people and have a couple clients. To build a business, you need a brand.
Scott Bartnick is the co-founder of Otter PR. He is an internationally renowned e-commerce and media expert who has been recognized worldwide for his business acumen. Bartnick owns several successful e-commerce companies and has been recognized for his innovative lifestyle. Bartnick is the best-selling author of The 5-Day Startup and has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, IB Times, Yahoo, and more for his success in business. But first, as you know, this show is literally about being on brand. And one of the best ways to be on brand is strong, consistent design. But that's easier said than done. On one end of the spectrum, you've got agencies who might not be as responsive as you'd like. On the other side of things, you have cheap marketplaces, which are cheap, but, well, cheap. In either scenario, you often end up with confused designers, missed deadlines, never-ending revisions, and countless additional costs. But there's another option you should know about. Superside, your one-stop shop for good design. Superside is a unique design subscription service that combines top designers from around the world with technology made to streamline the process for everyone involved. Your projects get done 20 times faster than in-house teams and 70% faster than agencies. This speed adds up as it can cut design costs up to 50%. With Superside, you can increase production capacity during busy times without increasing headcount. This allows in-house designers to focus on strategic, big-picture design. Plus, you can easily store, share, and collaborate on design files across your team and stakeholders. Superside offers annual subscription plans that include a dedicated design team, single point of contact project managers, same-day turnarounds when needed, and access to Superside's purpose-built technology to make great design production easy. Plus, when listeners of the On Brand podcast sign up for an annual subscription, you get a month free. That's $3,000 worth of design. Choose the right side of design. Superside. Learn more now at bit.ly/SupersideOnBrand. That's bit.ly/SupersideOnBrand. All one word. And now, Scott Bartnick, welcome to On Brand.
Nick, thank you so much for introducing me, and it's great to be here.
You know, I feel like when anyone has a phrase like innovative lifestyle in their bio, it's great because it provides a jumping off point, because I have to know what is this innovative lifestyle.
Yeah, of course. So I worked for a Fortune 500 company when I left my university, and I did things a little differently. I actually, once I quit, I moved abroad. I lived in Asia for a year. I started my business remote. I was doing supply chain and e-commerce, and I just really focused on working to live and not living to work, and kind of doing that kind of Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week lifestyle for the longest time, and really made it important to put my life first over work. So that was kind of actually what my Forbes feature was about, was the case study of the 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss. So it's been great for me, and I still kind of reflect that. I'm working longer hours now, but definitely kind of always looking with that in mind and understanding what my goals are and kind of how I want to live my life.
So I would have to imagine that a follow-up question you get a lot of times with that is, God, I want to do something like that. Where should someone start with wanting a lifestyle more like that?
Yeah, of course. A lot of people ask me, and I've coached several people through this. I think the biggest thing is always starting off with manageable goals. So my biggest goal when I started was a $10 a day profit. I knew that in Asia, things were very cheap, and that I could get housing and food and, you know, a scooter for about $10 a day if I was on a high budget, and just living that backpacker lifestyle. So that was really my goal. It was just making the bare minimum to survive and to figure things out. And so I did that actually about 2 weeks after I set the goal, and I put in my notice, and I booked a flight and started going abroad. And I just kind of, the goalpost has moved significantly for me over the time, but it was a great starting point. And too many people get so scared of, you know, that big number. They have anxiety about, well, I need to make $20 million, or I need to, you know, whatever that is. Just small baby steps and figure it out as you go.
I think that's really important too, because, you know, you mentioned the cost of different things in Asia. And I think that could be different for a lot of folks, or, you know, with what someone's overhead is, you know, if they're married, if they have kids, what adapting that looks like and really what your goals are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned overhead, which is perfect. I actually dropped my overhead dramatically. I had lots of subscriptions and things that I didn't need. So I cut off every single membership. I cut health insurance and travel insurance just because it was a request from my parents.
Right.
And other than that, I had no other expenses except for business expenses. Everything else that I had was either the bare minimums to live, and I was living in, a lot of times I was living in hostels with multiple people, and investing in my business. And that's really where I succeeded, was I was actually planning on getting my master's, and I figured, why spend that much money and give it to someone else when I can go kind of put all of that money back into myself? So I actually did take out a loan, but all of the loan money went directly into the business, whether that would be marketing, advertising, or e-commerce products. And there were definitely scary points throughout. Every entrepreneur will tell you, there's ups and downs, but so far I've had more ups than downs, which has been amazing.
Well, talk a bit about that, because, you know, segueing from Ferriss's 4-hour work week to you and the 5-day startup, you know, typically when we are talking startups, we're talking something that can be a relentless level of work. Seeing it paired with 5 days is attention getting. How does that work?
Yeah, of course. So the 5-day startup was my first business. Now I own Otter PR, which is the kind of core of what I do. But the concept behind the 5-day startup was really just, I mean, you can tell the 4-hour work week, it's pulled straight from that concept. And the goal, again, what I said, small manageable goals, was so many people get so scared with these massive goals. And really, I could find a product and start drop shipping it and build a simple website and have a profitable business in 5 days. Now, that's not going to be a home run. That's not going to make enough money for me to live, but it's a starting point. So one of my first products that I did was actually, I found a product that no one was selling. I drop shipped it from someone else and kind of repurposed it. And then I only sold 10 units. I made enough money, and I was like, okay, this is a viable product. That was my MVP. And I'm going to go ahead and order inventory. So then I redesigned the product. I rebranded it. I designed it to be my product, and I put in my first order. But it was all paid for with that drop shipping. And then once that hit the US, I started selling that. And as soon as they sold out pretty quickly, I placed my next order. And that kind of was really the base to my success, was just I put no money in. I started at just kind of, I was profitable from day one, and I was able to build it super quick. But the growth is the long part. But I want people to understand that they can start right away.
You know, as you talk about kind of the lean and mean model there of getting something set up, to sound as obvious as the branding podcast host that I am, when you're looking at a lean and mean startup like that, what is the role that a brand might play, or that building a brand plays in a startup like that?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you know the value of a brand. One of the first things I did was I actually hired a marketing company because I didn't have a lot of marketing experience, and they helped identify weaknesses where just simple things like my logo and doing a landing page video and kind of creating some content and building that trust towards my brand increased conversions dramatically. So all of these materials, I view everything as tools, and the sharper you can make your tools, the bigger your toolbox is, the more effective you're going to be at doing this job. So that's really the goal of the brand is you don't need a website to sell. You don't need a logo to sell. I can go, if I'm already an expert, if I have a career, I can go talk one-on-one to someone and make a sale and consult for them or whatever that is, but you can't really scale that. That scale is as far as, you know, you can get word of mouth. You can talk to five or six people and have a couple clients. To build a business, you need a brand. And I also view kind of a business as having usually two brands. You have the brand of the business and also the brand of the owner or founder or an executive at it. GE is a perfect example where you always think of a CEO and you think of the brand. You don't just think of the company.
That's a really, really good point. And it makes me think just topically of, like many this past spring, I watched Super Pumped on Showtime, and you know the story of Uber as a startup, but certainly the challenges that they faced in kind of the interconnectedness of that brand and the brand of the founder Travis Kalanick. So what does the interplay between those two brands look like, or what should it look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. If you think of Apple, if you think of Tesla, there are some of the biggest companies in the world, Amazon. You're usually going to think directly of their CEO. And Elon Musk, I believe he's still the richest person in the world, is probably that perfect example of it's hard to think of Tesla without thinking of him. And that can be amazing, especially when it's your own brand, but it can also be very dangerous because that individual can tank the brand, but they can bankrupt the company and they can do it in a couple tweets. So there's got to be that fine line. But I know that especially as a founder, one of my goals is to not just build my company brand, but also build my personal brand. I want people to think Otter PR and then think Scott Bartnick and then kind of think of the good work that's being done on both sides. So we can stand alone, but we can also stand together, which will give that founder and the company more legroom to stand on. There's just more trust and credibility when you can see both sides of it and you actually get to think of a person. Usually people do hire people. They don't hire brands.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's really interesting too, because I zeroed in on the Uber cautionary tale, but I think what you paint a picture of is really important as well, because it's when it can have a positive impact and a real complementary nature in the cases that you mentioned. So, you know, it's definitely an asset, but it's kind of like these two brands growing around the same time that are related, that do interact with each other, affect one another. But it definitely at the end of the day, ultimately building two things, building two brands.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do at Otter PR is we usually work directly with a CEO or executive and help build their brand to build the company, because it's very hard to get an interview for a brand, especially if it's a service based, because there's only so much we can say about how amazing that service is. But if you have an expert, a doctor, a lawyer, someone who's been in the field of marketing and branding for years, and you start building their credibility by getting them interviews like this, where they get to talk about what they're good at and give good advice and help other people, that adds a lot of value. And you're able to, I'm not just building my personal brand, but I'm also building my company brand. And that's the kind of the goal for, in my opinion of branding in the first place, is you want to build both those brands And you really, it's very hard to build one brand without the other.
On Brand will be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So, in talking about your work at Otter PR, go back and tell us the idea of what led you there. We went back to the beginning of the 5-day startup, but what was the genesis of Otter PR?
Yeah, great question. And so Otter PR is a full service PR agency. We focus on media relations. We say when we're talking on sales that what that means to our clients is our goal is to get you published. It's to get podcasts, radio interviews, TV, print, whatever that is. And the reason why we did this, and I started with a 5-day startup, is I realized that most of my clients, while they needed supply chain and kind of product development and things, the biggest thing they were willing to pay for was marketing. And specifically, PR was one that no one really understood how to do. So actually getting feature articles and guest articles and getting to tell your story and communicate it as a branding expert like you, you understand the importance of how you communicate that story. It's not just kind of saying, well, we do media. It's why do we do media and how do we do it? And how is that going to impact you? What are those results going to be? What is the true value of that? And telling that in a way that people relate to it is our main goal.
So I always have to ask too, when a company has an interesting name, what's the role of the otter? Why an otter?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if you want the real answer or the fake answer. So we have a very PR-friendly story answer about one of our founders, and he loved otters and just kind of wanted to bring things to be otter. But the truth is, when you're building a brand, you said, we're trying to build a communication platform. And so people relate better with colors, animals, fruits, things they know and trust. So that was the first part, is we wanted to make sure that we could pick a word that people already related to. So we didn't want to do a made up word. We want them to kind of instantly think about otters and be happy. The other part is just a very easily spellable domain. So Otter PR was available. We had been doing research. My co-founder, Jay Feldman, did love otters. So that was part of it. But we were very happy when we found that domain. So it was a mix of marketing tactic and kind of that love for the animal.
Well, that's awesome. I think both stories are good and interesting. Always interesting to hear kind of the story behind the brand name, especially when it's something interesting like that. Now, you were talking a bit about it. We're here talking on a podcast, so it's a little meta. But in talking about brand building, you mentioned earlier that, you know, people talking to brands is a little tricky. So in helping executives, leaders, as you were noting earlier, to get exposure, to build both their brand, their personal brand, and their organizational brand. What does that process look like?
Yeah, so we make it as simple as possible. First off, we focus on organic storytelling. So the first step is that strategy. We're going to interview you. We're going to learn more about the business. We're going to kind of figure out what's unique. Hopefully there's a good founder story or the product's trying to solve a problem. That's the biggest thing is every business that's successful that I can think of solves some sort of problem. So once we figure out what that problem is, we just need to pitch the story as this brand as being that solution to the problem, what they're doing unique, whether it's eco-friendly, kind of minority run, whatever that is, and then start telling that story. You also have individuals who are lawyers and experts who are going to give value back because people need to go do research. So basically, the media is always looking for quotes and they're always hungry for material. And our job is to package your story in a way that people are actually interested in reading it. So we have lots of our clients who will get featured over 100 times in a month because stories get syndicated. So we're not focused on pushing a story out. We're focused on listening to what's going on in the news. Kind of, we use the term trendjacking, but we're focused on making your story match what people actually want to hear and making sure that it relates to an audience and you can build that community. So it's really basically once we figure out that story, all we have to do is pitch it to the right people. And we have a full team that's ready to kind of pitch that story and figure out exactly who we need to get in front of and how we need to position it. Another thing that we do that's a little unique is we actually will pre-write a lot of the stories. We're basically giving, especially for TV, we'll give them a full script and we'll give them B-reel and we'll give them quotes and we'll set up an interview for them. So we want to be that easy button. So that's what the PR agency does is we make it really easy for them to set up that interview. So all they have to do is, you know, 10 minutes beforehand, be like, oh, okay, I know Otter PR, I got this. We've had interviews set up literally 15 minutes beforehand because we've had a full media kit ready and all the material with the photos and the B-reel. And we just got our clients on Fox Business and things like that just because they were ready for that. And they needed a finance expert or they needed a legal expert to give quotes on current events.
Well, that's great. And, you know, it did make me think, you know, worth mentioning that Otter PR has booked guests here on the On Brand podcast. And that's why it was fascinating to get the opportunity to hear some of this story as well. Speaking of story, you said the word of the moment several times of story and storytelling. And as you're working with executives, personal brands, and looking for that story, do people intuitively know what that is? Or do you find that you have to do some shaping of that as well?
It's both. So we're very selective with who we work with. So usually there's a good story there somewhere. A lot of times we're helping find it. So one of the things that I can't write my own bio, I've never written my own bio. I'm not capable of writing my own bio. So that's because someone else with an outside perspective needs to look in and interview you, ask you questions and be like, wow, you did this, this, and this. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're focusing on the wrong thing. And with marketing, we also do several exercises where we're trying to figure out who that target audience is, what they want to hear, who their ideal audience is. So that way we're talking to them. So we make sure that that bio or that story is crafted to the right person, because you might want to tell a slightly different story, which are to different people. If you're talking to a millennial versus someone who's been around a little bit longer and kind of making sure that you relate to them on a personal level so that they, again, that's why we choose animals is we want to make sure that we're relating to our customers and relating to our clients. So just figuring out a unique way to tell that story.
Well, bio writing is no small affair, and I think you hit the nail on the head of definitely getting someone else to do that and to help support that. And as someone that reads a lot of bios, I know there are a lot of not great bios floating around out there, especially when you distill that to something shorter as well. So, you know, again, what's important? What is best at telling your story to the right audience? I think that's another key point that a lot of times we look for messages that are going to be all things to all people. And that's just not the way the world works anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You have to be creative. I mean, we have one of our clients is a flooring company, and we have a company also that's blinds, and we've gotten them Forbes, Entrepreneur, New York Times, things like that. And they're obviously flooring. There's probably not a, if you think about flooring, it's not an exciting or sexy product. So you have to figure out what's unique about this. What are they doing different? What problems are they solving? How do we position this so people actually care? What impact are they making to the world, and what problems are they truly solving? So my team is, they're geniuses at storytelling. Whenever I get on a sales call, I don't pitch on relationships or connections. I say, yes, we have those, but every PR agency has those. Our job is being amazing at storytelling, especially since our story is kind of unique how we were founded. We're only 2.5 years old, and we started off with very affordable pricing. We were only $500 a month. And when the average PR agency is between 20 and 50, we got smaller businesses. So our goal was really to figure out what story is so unique about this smaller business who, that we're going to get them national coverage. And so that's been part of our success. As we've grown, we've never forgotten that the importance of that storytelling and that communication to make the impact.
Well, speaking of brands and storytelling, Scott, it is time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Yeah, so I actually had to think about that one. So Law by Mike is one of our clients. He's a famous lawyer, TikTok influencer. And the thing that he does really cool is he really relates to his audience. So I actually don't even follow him. He pops up on my newsfeed all the time. But he just gives really good advice, and his videos are very well curated. And his story is unique. He was a lawyer, and he wasn't loving what he was doing. And he kind of got pushed into TikTok, and now it's actually his full-time job. He's a full-time influencer and does very well, but it's just really cool how his brand kind of morphed into something he loves doing and how engaging it is. It's impossible to watch those videos and not want to learn what he's telling you. And then also just the production value of it is so high. It's a really cool, innovative space where he's kind of changed from legal to more of an influencer role.
That's great. I love hearing stories like that, and especially stories that involve other brands like yours and the role that you play. Scott, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So you can head over to otterpr.com. There's an About Us page. You'll see all the information. So that's OTTERPR.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram, Found Scott, and I'll reach out or respond to all my DMs personally.
Awesome. And we'll link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Scott, thanks for being on brand with us.
Awesome. It was great being here. Appreciate it.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.